in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You hem me in behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as day, for darkness is as light with you. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? We welcome you this morning in the name of the Lord. Thanks for being here for our celebration of the day of Pentecost. We begin our celebration this morning with our opening hymn. That's hymn 507, Holy, Holy, Holy. And we do welcome those who are tuned in on the radio this morning as well. As we sing our hymn this morning, we do invite the congregation to please stand on the last verse of the hymn and turn and face the cross for our procession. Let's sing. Thank you. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And do you forgive the iniquity of my sin?
Holy and gracious God, I confess that I have sinned against you this day. Some of my sin I know, the thoughts and words and deeds of which I am ashamed, but some is known only to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I ask forgiveness. Deliver and restore me, that I may rest in peace. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our intro this morning from Acts chapter 2 and Romans chapter 10. I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. With the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. O God, on this day you once opened the hearts of your faithful people by sending them the light of your Holy Spirit. Grant us in our day by the same Spirit to have a right understanding in all things and evermore to rejoice in his holy consolation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Our Old Testament reading for this morning on the day of Pentecost comes from the prophet Ezekiel in the 37th chapter of his prophecy. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and I will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come up on them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are clean cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading from Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, What does this mean? But others mocking said, They are filled with new wine. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day, but this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. It shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We invite the congregation to please stand for our Alleluia and turn and face the cross this morning for our reading of the gospel. the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 15th and 16th chapters.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
We sing our doxology. And confessing our faith this morning to the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
And please be seated. We now join together in singing our hymn of the day for today. That's hymn 497, "Come Holy Ghost, God and Lord."
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. When my brother and I were young, my brother went on a fishing trip with his buddy's family up into the mountains. And when he got back home from the trip, he told us the story of what happened. I guess him and his buddy and his dad, his buddy's dad and his buddy's little brother, were walking on this trail to this fishing spot. And as they were moving up and going through the trail, they came to a place where the trail was very treacherous. There was sort of a steep face, and down one side of this very narrow trail, there was a drop, a cliff, that they had to sort of get past on the trail. As they were walking along, the younger one, my brother's friend, his little brother, slipped right in the wrong spot on the trail to where he would fall a very long ways down to the bottom. And as he slipped, it was his dad who reached lightning fast, quick, with that dad strength, you know what I'm talking about? And grabbed him by the arm and rescued him. Kept him from falling. My brother was pretty shook up about it when he got home and told us it was a scary moment on their trip. But I was reminded of it, of that event and that story. I don't know where in my brain that was, but it was back there. And as I was reading the gospel lesson for this Pentecost Sunday about the Holy Spirit, Jesus told us in verse 7 of our reading from John 16, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth," he said, "it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." There's a similarity between what happened that day on the trail and why it's to our advantage that Jesus ascended into the heavens and sent his Spirit to walk with us. Jesus tells us that the Holy Spirit comes to do primarily three things. Maybe you caught them in the reading. If you didn't, it's okay. We'll look at them again. But he does these three things despite us sometimes. And what I mean by that is that no matter what we think the Holy Spirit does, and no matter how we think he works, Jesus tells us in our text this morning how he actually works. And what he actually does. And it's verse 8 of our reading. "And when he," Jesus says, "the Holy Spirit comes, he will," three things, "convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment." Three things. Sounds and feels kind of obscure to us, like, well, what does he mean, sin and righteousness and judgment? What's he telling us? Believe it or not, these three things are a lot like the dad's strength grip that day on that treacherous trail that saved that young boy from falling down the side of that mountain. Think about this for a second. Do you think that the boy's dad was concerned about how tenderly he reached out and grabbed his son's arm as he slipped to fall off that mountain? I doubt it. The boy's life was on the line, literally. So was ours. I'm sure when the boy felt the grip of his father on his arm, it was nothing short of strong and powerful, enough strength to literally move the boy's 8 or 9 year old body entirely up into the air. Maybe even could be described in a different sort of situation as even a painful sort of grip. But those were the last thoughts in the boy's head in that moment. Maybe it even left some marks on the arm from where dad grabbed him. And thank God it was strong and powerful like that, strong enough to save. I'm sure it was a welcomed strong grip. And may it be the same for you and I this morning as well. It's much like the work of the Spirit in our lives. He is strong and powerful, but he comes to save. He comes to rescue. When we hear his truth, and it's a raw truth about us. When we hear what the scriptures say about us, we tend to push it aside. We tend to not totally dig into it too much because it seems kind of sad and down and, well, I don't really want to talk about my sin, Pastor, because it doesn't make me feel good. Yeah, well, it's raw and it's powerful and it's strong. And it might leave some marks on us too when we actually hear it and face it. That all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and that anybody that says they do not sin is a liar and the truth is not in them. Jesus tells us first that the Spirit comes to convict the world of sin. And notice in the explanation of that from verse 9, he orients that conviction, or as we're seeing this morning, that grip of God, within the confines of faith language. Not works language, but faith language. He says in verse 9, concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. He doesn't make it really about the details like we so often do, or the sinful works that we all engage in. But he centers our thoughts. He centers them on the root of those sinful deeds. See, all evil deeds and sinful actions come from one root: unbelief. Unbelief, Jesus shows us. And when he grips us with this powerful truth, his law, his commandments, it's strong. Strong enough to save. And it might leave some marks of love on us as well. Next, he says the Spirit comes, this is number two, to convict the world of righteousness. But then notice how he centers our thinking on this one too in verse 10. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you'll see me no longer. He shows us the ascension, which we celebrated last week. He's the only one who ascended up into the heavens. He's the only one who then is perfectly righteous. So when he tells us that the Holy Spirit comes to convict the world of righteousness, he's saying, convict the world of whose righteousness? Yeah. His. His righteousness. His perfection. He died for the ungodly. He loves in ways that no one else could. And he gave himself up completely for you on his cross. Jesus' righteousness is the righteousness the Holy Spirit comes to convict the world of. And this righteousness grabs a hold of us when the Spirit does his work. Through the Word of God, he says, yeah, you think this is who you are? Let me give you a lesson, friend. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. How you doing with that? It's a strong grip. Have no other gods before me, he says. No other gods. That means when you're hurting, when you need peace, when you need joy, when you need comfort, when you need anything, what do you turn into? He said, have no other gods, no idols in our hearts. And we turn to so many things. It's a strong grip. It might leave some marks, but he tells us the raw, honest truth. He loves you that much to actually tell you the truth, even when we get all worked up in our pomp sometimes, right? Well, I'm doing okay, Pastor. Don't talk about my sin this much. It makes me feel really uncomfortable. feel uncomfortable too. Because it's the straight truth from God's word. It's not going to bend for you or me. It's not going to give an inch. It's going to say what it says. He convicts us. That's his grasp. The Spirit of God as he walks through this life with us. And then he convicts us of the righteousness of Jesus. And when we see it, it's literally his cross reaching out in like a metaphor to grab a hold of us and save us from falling. Because we see, yes, you're right, we're convicted of our sin because all those sins do show our unbelief, Lord. But then the Spirit's not done, friends. Then he convicts us of righteousness, the righteousness of another, not your righteousness in the mirror, not my righteousness in the mirror, but the righteousness of Jesus of Nazareth and only him. If we're looking for righteousness anywhere else, we're in deep trouble because we're not going to find it. And we do that. We dig around in our own hearts. We try to prove ourselves, show our righteousness, let the world know how great I am. The Spirit's not leading us to do that. Jesus said he comes to do this, and sometimes, like we said, it's despite us, right? Because we've got an idea of how we think the Spirit's going to work. This is how it goes. We think, oh, he'll make me better. And then I can feel great about myself. That's the wrong trail, pard. Lake's not on that one. And it's even steeper. You'll never make it. Our righteousness isn't going to add up. So he convicts us of the righteousness of Jesus. And then we see in the cross when Jesus dies for us and gives his own life that he takes our place. And this is the last one. Concerning judgment. Because the ruler of this world is judged, he says. And what does he mean by this? Well, this third one is not mutually exclusive from the other two. If we try to understand it alone in a vacuum, we'll misunderstand it. He convicts us of the judgment of sin and death in the world. That it's judged. That it's already found guilty. And that if we've engaged in it, if we've taken the fruit when it was offered to us, then we're guilty too. Judged. Convicted. And we would be left without hope. Except for this one man. This one God. Who loved us so much that he laid down his own life for us. That he lived in our stead and he was crucified for us. And he resurrected for us. And he ascended up in the heavens for us so that where he is, we might also go. This work of the Spirit shows us that the ruler of this world is already dealt with. And that Christ has taken our place. He's paid the price, the very high price. And he took our punishment on himself. There's another part to this convict the world of judgment. Because when we look at ourselves, and we know, I believe in Jesus. I believe that his cross and resurrection was actually for me. And I know that he's my only hope. And in that, friends, in that trust that God put in us, in that faith that's in our hearts that grabs a hold of the promises of God, God declares us by that faith righteous. Righteous. But what happens as we walk our Christian life? We doubt that. We doubt that righteousness. We doubt that forgiveness. We mess up, we trip, we slip, we fall. We're going down the mountain and he grabs a hold of us with this truth. He comes to convict the world of this judgment that if we in fact believe that Jesus is Lord, that his cross was for us, then we should judge ourselves differently and see who God calls us to be and who we are in his perspective. And sometimes people say, well, Pastor, you know, this whole like confession thing where we're supposed to ask for forgiveness and repent of our sins and stuff, it feels like I have to do that every single day, if I'm being honest. You know, sometimes multiple times a day I have to do this. Friends, don't be wearied. The Spirit comes to convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. This confession and absolution thing, this repentance and forgiveness, is literally the powerful, mighty grip of God on you and on me. He's holding us with it. See it. See it. He's holding on to us with this exact work of the Spirit that Jesus is talking about. So it shouldn't get us down and out when we repent of our sins. In fact, rejoice. Rejoice if you feel guilty. Rejoice that you can come and repent and be forgiven. Jesus says it in John 10, my Father is greater than I, and no one can snatch you out of his hand. This is his grip. Repentance. Forgiveness, freedom, because Dad is holding on to you. And yes, in this life, it might leave some marks, friends, but he's got you. You're safe, and you can see it by repentance and the forgiveness of sins and the judgment of evil in Jesus' name. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time, we take a few moments to receive our offering for this morning. As our offerings are collected and presented, we'll enjoy an instrumental piece from our organist. You're here on a special day for us here at Trinity as we have the blessing of saying farewell and Godspeed to one of our beloved members, Mrs. Miriam Lipke. Miriam, if you'd like to come forward at this time. So Miriam is headed out, what day was it again? Tomorrow?
Wednesday.
Wednesday, headed out on Wednesday to move to Merrill, Wisconsin. And because she has a position there at a Lutheran church where she'll be the director of music. And then she's also going to begin her process of colloquy to become a called church musician in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And we want to send her out from here with our blessings and our prayers and our love. And we'll do that with our rite of farewell and Godspeed to a church worker. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, to Miriam Lipke, whose faith and life have been nurtured in this congregation, has been led to enter upon a course of study and to do her work as a musician in that church as she prepares to serve in the position of church musician in Merrill, Wisconsin. As she continues to do her work and begins her colloquy, study, and work, we look to the word of the Lord for encouragement for her, for strength for her, and for guidance for her. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 12, "By the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them, if prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, and the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness." Psalm 37 says to us this morning, Miriam, "Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations." We invite the congregation to stand with us now for prayer. I'm going to face the altar with me. O Lord God, a merciful and gracious Father, we give thanks for all the blessings you've bestowed on Miriam, who has been moved to take her position at the church and to begin the colloquy process to do work in your kingdom. By your Holy Spirit, we pray you grant her an open mind and heart to hear and learn, to always be a student of your holy word, and that you'd grant her the ability to serve faithfully and effectively. Lord, support her, strengthen her, and protect her during the years that lie ahead, so that by your word, your church may be built and increased. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. Amen. Amen. Go in peace and joy. The Almighty, most merciful God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you, bless and strengthen you for faithful service to him. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Miriam. We do send her with our prayers and our love and our care as she goes forth from here. Our congregation is really blessed to have the Lord raising up called servants here from Trinity. We invite you now to join us in our prayers of the church for this morning. Our response for our prayers today is, "Hear our prayer." Gracious Lord, your Spirit fills the world with gladness, your church with the remembrance of all Christ Jesus has spoken. Glorify his name among us in every word and in every deed. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord God, guide your church into all truth by your Holy Spirit through your word, that we may be guarded from all error and false doctrine and other great shame and vice, Lord, in your mercy. God of comfort, give hope to your people in the midst of this world of death and despair. Put your spirit within us to believe, to live, and to serve according to your promises and commands. Lead our homes to confess our confidence in your power to raise the dead now and at the last day. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, be near to Joseph, our president. Be near to Jared, our governor. And be near to all those that you've set in place to govern our land. Lord, hear us that you do not let the ruler of this world, the prince of the power of the air, govern them or their decisions to our harm. But give us the benefits of good government through the power of your word. Lord, in your mercy. We call on your name, O Lord, praying in your spirit to help and to save all who are in need this morning. Especially we name before you today from the altar Collins family, also Lord, the Mitsukami family. We name also before you Kip McCormick, the family of Vicky Krizen, Bill Van Giesen, William Tanner, Emily Johnson for her healthy pregnancy and her family, John Brownell, Ava Hoffman, Leonard Vigil, Sean Austin, Jim and Linda Holman, Debbie Ford, Carolyn Jiri, Betty Gray, Sandy Santisteven, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumor, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Lord, renew the face of the earth. Look with favor on your creatures and fill the hearts of your faithful, kindling them with the fire of your love. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, send your Holy Spirit upon your faithful people, that convicted of our sin, we may also be convicted that the righteousness of Christ is ours. And in such repentance and faith, receive the things of Christ declared for us in this supper, his holy body and his precious blood for the forgiveness of our sin. Unite us by your spirit of truth and faith and confession, and comfort us with the knowledge that this world's prince is already judged. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, we pray this morning that you'd comfort all those who grieve. Assure them that since Christ has gone away to the cross and has risen victorious over death, so those who go away from us in this life will rise also to everlasting life. And soon, very soon, hastens the day of our reunion with them. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, through your Son, you promised your Holy Spirit who would convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and lighten our hearts, that we would confess our sins, obtain everlasting righteousness through faith in Christ, and through every trial and temptation, abide in the consolation that Christ is Lord over the devil, death, and all things. We ask that you would graciously deliver us from all afflictions, to make us partakers of eternal salvation, through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. If you've been joining us on the radio this morning, we thank you for tuning into our service and wish you the Lord's blessings and his peace as he continues to do his work in our world through his word and through forgiveness of sins. If you're gathered in the sanctuary this morning, we invite you to turn over to page 12 in your bulletin. And please stand, if you're able, for our service of the Holy Sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who ascended above the heavens and sitting at your right hand poured out on this day the promised Holy Spirit on his chosen disciples. For all this, the whole earth rejoices with exceeding joy. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
listening to Pastor Jason Cody live from Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. Thank you for listening. Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado, with worship services every Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. Please join us in person or listen in right here on KSPK-FM. For more information, you may call the church office at 719-589-4611 or visit our website at www.tlcalamosa.net or on Facebook by searching for Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. And tune in again next Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on KSPK-FM.
KSPK.